everyone. I'm Ivy Rivera. I'm a Taino Arawak, a psychic medium, and this is my late night circus show. This is episode number 2, where I'm talking about viral topics, you know, trending, worldwide news, current events, and how they relate to us spiritually, energetically, astrologically, how you can apply what's going on in the world around you to your everyday life and what will be coming up in the future. So I see the world as a dark circus. It never ends. There are always new clowns coming in to perform some type of dangerous act. It's scary and it's also curious and entertaining. And it's a never-ending freak show that I've always found interesting. I prefer in life to be more detached and observant of things than absorbed in all of it. And that has kept me safe. It's also allowed for me to analyze what it is that I think I'm looking at and see it in the scope of a much larger picture. Okay. What does it mean in the bigger web of life and the universe? And I think many of my followers see the world the same way. So let's break some things down that have happened in the last couple weeks since I saw you last, beginning with Elmo's viral mistake. Okay, for those of you who didn't see this, Elmo from Sesame Street decided to go ahead and trouble himself by opening up his sweet little heart on social media. He went on and he said, "How's everyone doing?" And he was bombarded. This immediately went viral. He had millions of views and thousands upon thousands of comments of people unloading their deepest, their darkest, their micro, macro stressors, relationship problems, health issues, you name it. Everyone unleashed and unloaded on him. Seemed to be pretty proportionate, like men and women, which I thought was great. And I think Elmo was stunned. He did a couple interviews after that, talking about how he's glad that he asked. Clearly, people need to be asking more, and that he was there, you know, as a support for everyone. But what it really showed, and a lot of therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, you know, stepped in and they said what happened to Elmo that day, okay, was a real reflection of where we are, not just here in America, but worldwide, desperately needing therapy, which is expensive. Okay, it's a for-profit medical system here in America, so people can't afford therapy. But, you know, internationally, that people clearly are not communicating enough. They're not talking about where they are in their day-to-day, and they're not being asked enough, okay, of where they are. So I think, you know, it's something we're going to be, on a more spiritual note, reflecting on more, because what Elmo really did in that moment is to expose how many needy people and stressed to the max. Some of these stories were heartbreaking and very, very intense. And it's good for us to realize that we're all just walking around carrying this baggage every day, 24/7. And some of us really are on the breaking point. I think Elmo, being a soft-natured creature, okay, not a human, I think he was sort of the only one who could touch on this, you know, at this point in time, because people are so individualized, you know, and we are so dog-eat-dog, and we are so put off by one another, because while we are all stressed, we are all also giving off toxic energy, and none of us want to have anything to do with it, okay? So people say, well, you know, in America, everyone's so friendly. Yeah, we're fake friendly. Okay. It's not like France where everyone just is openly miserable, you know, but it's like, how are you? How are you? I'm great. How are you? I'm amazing. Thanks for asking. And then on and on we go. And none of it is real, right? So we're all shattered. We're all broken. It's a devastating condition of the world right now. And Elmo had to step in. It had to be someone like him, right? Or it, whatever the heck Elmo is. I don't know. A Muppet, a puppet. And, it worked. Okay, so I think there is going to be a bigger story of intervention here down the road. All right, let's move on to another story here. The men's loneliness epidemic. Bingo. All right, so with the men's loneliness epidemic, we're all sick and tired of hearing about it. Most of us don't feel bad for them, especially if you're a woman who's been trauma dumped on your entire life, who's been abused, beaten up by them, you know, not seen as valuable in any type of a relationship, from mother to sister to friend to lover to wife to anything, right? So we've had, and we don't care that they have a loneliness epidemic, because women have had a much bigger loneliness epidemic. Women attempt suicide 4 times greater than men attempt suicide. Yet all we hear about these high rates of unmatched, you know, male attempts at suicide and such. So when we hear these things, we kind of go, whatever, it's enough. Also, though, I want to say that the reason the last couple of weeks have been a breakthrough with the men's loneliness epidemic, okay, is because finally researchers have stopped saying that it's women's responsibility to take care of men who are going through this. That was a huge mistake. Women have already decided we're done. So to try to re-victimize us into the system is a joke, all right? And when we heard repeatedly in the last couple years that men were going through this loneliness epidemic and they weren't getting enough sex and they were committing more suicide, we were also being told as women that if we don't marry them or at least cohabitate with them, they're going to vote right. They're going to vote extremist. They're going to murder more frequently. They're going to become more alcoholic and, you know, bigger drug abusers than they already were, and all this. And all us women said, wow, what a treat for me. Is that what I get to cohabitate with? Can I be first in line? You know, so it wasn't working, to say the least. And it went from there really to more blame against women, that it's the feminist revolution that is causing this problem for them. Finally, we have a bingo. In the last few weeks, therapists have stepped up and researchers are saying that what men need to do to combat the male loneliness epidemic is to develop themselves. That's it. They need to develop themselves. Yep, that's it. That's the solution. Now, we've been saying it for centuries. But with this, there are also suggestions about how. And while most men are refusing it, the ones that are actively working with it are growing leaps and bounds. And they are escaping this hellish existence that they claim that they're stuck in, which I believe. They made this bed, now they're lying in it and they want out, but no one's going to come and rescue them, just like they never came to rescue us women. You know, that fairy tale doesn't exist. And now it's their turn to get out of it. And one of the ways they're going to do that is, yes, through self-development, but also through genuine communication with other people, not necessarily just men, but especially men. And what they're framing this as is men learning how to be friends to one another. That's it. So when men say, well, we never get anything, and, you know, we're not, you know, we don't have friends. You don't have friends because you're not a friend. You're not kind to other men. You don't listen to other men. You know, you don't allow other men to cry. You caused this. Now you have to fix it. Keep us girls out of it, because we don't care. We're not ever coming to rescue you. You never came to rescue us. And finally, I think we're on to some improvement. So what does this mean on a larger scale, spiritually, astrologically? Well, astrologically, with Pluto in Aquarius starting January 20th and a couple other transits we have coming on, we're seeing the revolution really in place, right? The awakening, the new world, you know, being built. And this is led by women in revolution. So if that's the new world and men are finally waking up, some of them anyways, they're finally waking up and they're saying the key to, you know, us being able to advance and go with women in this new world that's being created is us going through self-development, self-care, taking care of other men, you know, redefining what, I guess, if you feel you need to, being a man is, or masculinity is. I'm not into any of that. I don't care about any of that. But if That's what people need. You know, men certainly do feel they need that. Okay. Those titles, and they need them defined. If that's what they need right now, good for them. Okay. So we are now moving in the right direction where some of the gentlemen are going to be getting on board. And, I think a lot more will follow. Okay. So strength in numbers is a good way to say it. And men trying to be authentic have not had strength in numbers up until this time. And it's sad to watch, you know, them being abused for being like a human, you know, so this is good for them. All right, let's move on to another topic. USA's free prison labor and illegal homelessness. This is unbelievable. If you missed this, find my list of circus performers here. So most of you probably know that we have more prisoners here in America than anywhere else in the world. And we worldwide make up something like 25% of the prison population, which is like maths out to be something like one in every 95 people is incarcerated. Okay, one in 99, something like that. So basically, these prisoners caught up in the prison system have been giving free labor. Let me know if you're aware of this in the comment section. I want to see where everyone's, you know, mindset is, knowledge bases on this type of thing. They work, you know, free labor for companies. And that means that it's a for-profit system, which means basically America has reinvented slavery, right? And, you know, when our, when the Civil War, after the Civil War, it was rewritten for America here that you couldn't trap slaves, but that, you know, we could imprison people, and that would be the only forced labor that we could have. So the solution is just to take people, stick them in jail, and get free labor out of them. It is the slavery system rewritten. And of course, we all know that the majority of prisoners are Black and, you know, Hispanic, Indigenous. And we saw that through the Associated Press, they did an investigation about a week ago saying that they stand against the US abuse of prisoners to profit these billion-dollar companies from making everything from mattresses to solar panels to the fast food services. And we found the culprits behind a lot of this. So we have McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Cargill, which is behind, if you've never heard of them, they're behind a lot of the fast food services and food in general, from what I understand. Pepsi, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Walmart, like always, big shock. Burger King. So what's happening here is that also, you know, in addition to this, 100% of the military helmets, tags, bulletproof vests, ammunition is made by prisoners, 100% of it. 36% of home appliances internationally are made by prisoners. 21% of office furniture and a bunch of other things. Long story short, it keeps us competitive. And if you've been up to date on what's going on with the homeless population, which has been skyrocketing in recent years, plus, we see boomers are about to be hit within the next 5 years. All these boomers who were hoping to get like Social Security and, you know, have a retirement and all of this, a bunch of them are going to end up homeless. A ton of them are going to end up homeless. And if you're a millennial, well, I'm a zennial, okay, I'm on the cusp there of Gen X and millennial, but I think everyone there on that cusp, and even some Gen Xers are feeling it, but certainly millennials, certainly Gen Z, if you know the risks of becoming homeless because you are spending well over 30% of your income for rent and you cannot buy a home, you understand that this is a possibility for any of us at any time. And what's happened now is that there are only two states left in America where it's not illegal to be homeless. Two. Okay. Oregon and Wyoming. That means everyone's getting arrested. Homeless people have been getting arrested, are going to be thrown in jail and used for this free slave labor. That's the America of freedom we live in. And it could be you anytime. So for anyone who's been like judging on this, oh, well, prisoners deserve what they get. Do you think you will deserve what you get? Heaven forbid you get sick in a country like this. You have no medical coverage. You have no one to come save you. Are you going to deserve what you get? We need to start speaking out. We need to start speaking out yesterday on these issues. So, you know, it's already been illegal for a long time in most states for people to go out and feed the homeless. I mean, you'll get fined. You'll get in big trouble for even trying to help them to feed them. So they're basically, Americans are being tortured, right? They're being thrown on the streets due to unlivable wage earnings and, you know, conditions here in this country with no assistance. All the money goes to war. You know, all our taxes go to war. Nothing goes to helping to better our system. We are the only country, the only like Western right country in the world that lives like a third world country here, basically. And they're going to be able to profit off of that. So what I see as far as this spiritual, you know, astrological, energetic message here is on this, is that it had to happen this way in order for people who thought they were untouched to be touched. Because we have a lot of privilege in this country. We have a lot of entitled people. We have a lot of groups, right? That not a lot of groups, but, you know, mostly white males, but, you know, even white women, you know, and some other people that are, you know, maybe of any race, but upper class, you know, maybe even upper middle class. These people may believe that they cannot be touched by this. And a lot of people in this country have a tendency to say, if it's not my problem, I don't care. Or if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So they're complicit, which means they cause the problem. They feed the problem. And if this is what it's going to take for the revolution to take hold, to create the new world, for the awakening to occur, is for people to suffer directly or to have someone within close proximity to them suffer directly, that's what's going to happen. And that's exactly what's going to happen here through the financial crisis, the homelessness increase, which is just only going to continue, and prison rates increasing. So there you go. You want to see who's benefiting? Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Domino's, Pizza Hut, all of these companies, the military, the American military. There you go. All right, let's move on to another story here. Women ruling the housing market. This was exciting to hear. So women now rule the housing market. A lot of states are saying that it's half or more of individuals who come to purchase. Single women are making up about 20% of the housing market. These women are not putting anyone else's name on the deed. They have zero desire to do so, they claim. They have not only earned the money themselves, they have saved it themselves. And if they are allowing anyone to cohabitate with them, it is other girlfriends, it's other mothers, it's other family members, it's their children, obviously, and that's it. So I thought that was absolutely huge. Okay, amazing to hear. Also, it's really nice to hear that, you know, in this impossible housing market, like here in America, you know, that women are the head in buying up property. So don't think you can't do it. Okay, even in this market, it can happen. It is happening. And talk to other sisters about how we're pulling this off. I just did it myself 2 years ago. Okay, in the nick of time for the market, you know, very doable. All right, let's move on to another story. This is going to bother you, and it may. You may want to tune out at this point and come back in a couple minutes. All right, so trigger warning here. A doctor decapitates baby and posted on social media. In Georgia, there was a young Black woman who was giving birth when her doctor who was delivering the baby made a mistake where that is never really made. I mean, it's basic 101 knowledge about how you are supposed to handle the shoulders, the neck, the spine, and how you would put force or not put force, coerce. And if you cannot, it's an automatic emergency C-section. Well, this doctor, against all training, apparently, actually broke the baby's neck at the C1, C2 up at the top. Then lied about it. Now, mom didn't know. In a state like that, for anyone who's ever had a child, you almost don't know what the heck is going on, okay? You're just trying to save your own life. And they told her they were going to bring her in for an emergency C-section. So after all that, because they now have to fake it, they brought her in for an emergency C-section, and they said that the baby was already dead. So they basically blamed the mother that she was carrying a deceased infant, okay, or something must have happened. They, in trying to pull the baby back up and through, decapitated the baby entirely. And then they tried to hide it. The nurses were in on it. Everybody in the room was in on it. They put the head back on. They wrapped the baby up and they covered up the neck. They showed the baby to the mom and to the dad. And when they asked to hold the baby, they said, no, you can't do that. And when they said, well, I want to see the baby, they said, no, you can't do that. They swiped the baby away. Apparently at some point, photographs of the corpse were posted on social media by the doctor. I don't know if the nurses were in on that too. And later, we found out that the decapitation was done through the autopsy by the doctor when she was trying to vaginally deliver. So the doctor is charged with homicide. Now, what do I think about this horrific story? I think it happens all the time. I know people it has happened to. It happened to me when I was 18. And when I reported the doctor to the Department of Health, they found a list of other Puerto Rican women in the area that it had happened to. And a lot of those babies did not live. I had a family member, Puerto Rican, who had the baby's head had been punctured and the baby died when they said they were trying to break her water. What doctor doesn't know how to break a water? Okay, so the guy who did it to me got shut down. But a lot of the other Puerto Rican women didn't speak English as well as I did. I'm mixed. So, you know, I had some ease on my hands of, I had some extra fight in me to go forward. Not a lot, but a little more than they had. And I knew the system better than what a lot of these other women did. Now you hear horror stories. I believe there's a 35 increase like percent rate of deaths for Black women from pregnancy and childbirth. This should not be happening. I mean, none of this should be happening. But I find it very hard to believe that these things are accidental, especially when you see, like I saw in my own situation, Puerto Rican after Puerto Rican after Puerto Rican after Puerto Rican, and no one else seemingly been tortured by this doctor. Okay, so we have another situation here. What is the spiritual message? Well, like I always say, the revolution began in 2019. It has now peaked in January 20th, you know, and the ultimate peak of the revolution is going to be led by women and the indigenous. But just before that, so the last, I want to say 3 to 4 years, it was really being led and will continue. There will be many stories there by the Black and LGBTQ community. So I think that this fits in perfectly. This, not only the exposure of what happened here, but the charge is unheard of. These doctors get away with murder. Not this one, not this time. And while they're still trying to downplay it in the news, the charge of murder is homicide. Is definitely what it is. So it's going to bring a lot of awareness. It's going to make headlines. I think that once mom and dad are able to collect themselves and speak up more, we're going to be hearing a lot from them. And I hope this goes deep, deep into criminal charges, well beyond civil, because that's what the rest of us need to be doing, is moving beyond civil into criminal charges. All right. So that was incredibly disturbing, outrageous. They just think they're going to get away with it. The fact that the nurses get in on it and all the other staff, there were aides who were in on it. Everyone who was there covered it up. You know, they were trying to prevent the autopsy. You should see the paperwork on this one. Unbelievable. Let's move on to another one. Three frozen friends found in yard. All right. This was a Kansas City situation where these friends got together, three of them, at another friend's house to watch a football game. And the friend who owned the property, anyone else, have you heard about this one? This is really strange. The friend who owned the property was like some kind of chemist. And back in high school, because they all know each other, back in high school, he was infamous for creating and concocting different drug combos based on what people would order. So people would say, I want, you know, this high mixed with, I don't know, maybe like a little LSD, a little Molly, a little Trolin, a little this, a little that. And he would be like, okay. So he would go back to his lair and he would concoct these things. And everybody knew him and loved, you know, his drugs. But he had these three gentlemen, I believe everybody was in their 30s, ballpark, over, friends of his. These three guys knew each other very well, and they considered the chemist who owned the home to be a little bit more of an acquaintance than anything. Well, as the story goes, the guy who owned the home went to bed and his three friends left. But 2 days later, they had never come home. And their family, their fiancés, right, their friends, everyone's doing interviews on the news talking about how clean and upright they are, how they never mess with drugs. No way, no way, not him or him. No, 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 they don't do that. They don't do that. And where are they? Where are they? So the guy who owns the home has a fiance of one of the missing men break in, I think through a window, to try to like, he's not opening the door. He's not answering his phone. So she broke into the house. Somebody else broke in, a friend of the family, some guy, and he does not resurrect until the cops show up. Now the cops show up and he hears that. He came out of the room. He said that even though their cars were parked in the driveway, he hadn't noticed that. And he had an empty glass of wine in one hand. And he said he had just been sleeping mostly for the last couple of days and working from home. So they went out into the yard and they found all three of them. One man was dead, sitting up in a lawn chair, frozen, stiff. One more was on the patio, like on the porch, looked like maybe he was trying to climb up the steps. And I think the other one wasn't too far from that, like a little off to the side, all frozen. The police said, nothing to see here. No problem here. Looks normal to me. Don't they always, right? When there's like a really good drug dealer involved. So this story was getting totally ignored. They were not even going to do expedited like autopsies on these guys. Everybody was like, no, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong, right? All of a sudden, the guy who owns the house decides that he's going to go into rehab. And he starts, you know, making statements through the, got lawyered up, start making statements through the lawyer. And the cops admit that they found a whole backpack full of drugs. And I think what they found in their systems was like THC, cocaine. I think it was like meth. I don't know. I have notes here somewhere on this. But anyways, everything. I mean, you know, everything was in their system. And so what's the bigger story here? Because this one's still unfolding. I think that the bigger story here and on a spiritual level sort of goes a little bit back to the previous story we talked about here with the men's loneliness epidemic and what to do instead of just pushing it onto women to deal with. Okay, make men develop themselves, make men talk to one another and learn how to be a good friend and get, you know, comfortable with growth. This is what happens when you don't do that. And I think it's a major wake-up call, because if you look at all the interviews with the moms and the sisters and the wives and the fiancés and how they were all like, no, my brother, my son, my husband, my lover, they don't do drugs. They would never get involved with something like that. BS. Okay. So I have said this before on here. I was homeless for like 6 years. And I was exposed and did myself a lot of drugs. No one will ever be able to pull the wool over my eyes. But for people who have not been exposed to drugs, or for people who haven't done drugs, they can have people around them doing drugs, even serious drugs like this, all the time. Or maybe it is just recreationally from time to time, but I doubt it. I doubt it. And I think more men than we realize are knee deep in this ish. And we're just like overlooking it. Like we don't know any better. And this is what they turn to. Okay. When they don't have real support, when they're not in a healthy mind state. And I think that this is going to lead, as the story unfolds, also to more exposure about how the police cover things like this up, because they covered up so much. We already know so much. Nobody's been punished yet. All right. But this story is outrageous. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. So stay tuned on this one. All right. Let's move on to another one. Florida fails again. Trans driving ban. I don't know how anyone can live in Florida anymore. I mean, I understand if you're financially trapped, but what a mess. I mean, just, I won't even travel there. I won't spend a penny of money there. I have not taken vacations there. I am completely and totally banning it as a, you know, as an option. We need to start exposing more, if we don't, you know, even if we don't live there, what is going on in Florida, especially in regards to the attack on the LGBTQ community. And here is another outrageous move. So Florida has decided, let me know if you heard about this or what you know, how much of this you know in the comment section, please. Florida has decided that transgender people are not going to be able to renew their license. That's it. So if they're caught driving, they're going to jail. I guess we can just put them back on the slave chain to make more profit for the companies, like Coca-Cola will appreciate this, right? Let's just add to it. So, you know, they really have no choice but to leave or to deny who they are and what they are and what they believe. So this is going to be one heck of a fight. Disgusting move, because it really, like, they don't have more important things to focus on. Florida's a train wreck. And this is what they're spending their time and attention on, is bullying transgendered people from, like, preventing them from driving legally. Okay. All right, let's move on to another one, because I think that one speaks for itself in terms of the revolution, the movement, the awakening, where we're going. Again, we have LGBTQ community members leading, and that's been going on for the last like 3 to 4 years, leading this revolution. And it's going to, of course, have to come through the exposure of abuse being put on them, criminalizing them, massacring their rights and trying to, you know, make sure they stay like second-class citizens. So this is all part of the story and the fight. And I think, you know, it's also important for us to realize that, yes, they will fight their own fight. But again, a big problem is complacency. A big problem is people who actually feed these issues by sitting on the sidelines. And it's going to be a bigger call, okay, for these individuals to step up, because it's going to affect a lot of different areas of everyone's lives. How can they not drive? Okay, there are going to be problems here that come off of this, including financial. All right, let's move on to another one. We have the 4B movement. No more men. This is interesting, coming out of South Korea. So I do want to ask you guys at this time, if you haven't already done so, please give this video a thumbs up, drop a comment of any kind. It helps me out in the algorithm. Subscribe. And if you are here on YouTube at Ask Ivy and you want to become a member, hit the join button to see the three different tiered options. Donations are always appreciated, guys. Thanks so much. All right. The 4B movement, no more men. What is it? In South Korea, China has something similar. Black women's movement has something similar. The 4B movement is about excluding men from their lives, decentering men in every way. So the 4Bs are something like, these women are not having children. They will not get pregnant. They are not sleeping with men. They, not at all, not even for pleasure. They will not sleep with men. They refuse to date and they will not get married. So the 4B movement has spread from 2019 to now. It's gotten so big that it only takes 10 to 20% of the population to create major influence, to cause huge ripple effects, okay? More like waves, okay, of effect. But they're well over that amount. And now what's happening due to the success of their movement is that other countries around the world, women are adopting this from all over the world. And American women are on it. I believe we have also exceeded that 20%. I know a lot of American women believe that there needs to be like, you know, if 80, 90% of us get together and decide that men who have terrible behavior will not be entertained by us anymore, right? No nookie, no kids that we get stuck taking care of anyways. I'm not even dating you. I don't care if you're going to pay for it. I'm not even dating you. And marriage is long gone. Okay. But the consequences of this, we have seen like wildfire so rapidly from, yeah, the men's loneliness epidemic, the suicide rate, right? We had Roe v. Wade overturned to try to force us into it. I mean, all these things. But it isn't, you know, American women are wrong. And it isn't 80 to 90%. It's just like 10 to 20%. And we've already exceeded that, I believe. And I think it's spreading rapidly, and it will continue to do so. This is just the beginning. And what's relatively new here in the States has been going on around the world. And I just think it's absolutely amazing, incredible to watch. What's the bigger spiritual lesson in all of this? Like I always say, it's going to be women and indigenous leading the last part, the biggest level up in the revolution. So over the next 10 to 20 years, it's going to be us taking over everything and redefining everything. Without fight? No, of course not without fight, but I think we're off to a pretty good start, okay? It is forcing also these men to start taking care of themselves, because what research shows, what statistics show is that the majority of these men who are essentially shunned by women because of their terrible behavior, they don't respect women, they demand things of women, right? They have an entitlement attitude. They continue to see women as objects that are just there to like stroke their ego and do work and carry the labor for them. All of them basically have gone running back to their mothers. So research shows that while they're trying to like, you know, knock on mom's door, or they've made their way into her basement, or they're crying on her shoulder, moms, sisters, aunties, the women in, and I'm still talking South Korea, but I think we're even seeing this in the States at this point, even though we're early in the game, even family members, including their moms, have shut the door on them and have said, get off of me, get out of here, go take care of yourself, and primarily go to therapy. And they have. And some of them are doing better. Okay, so it's a step in the right direction. But yeah, 10 to 20%, ladies, not 80 to 90%. So the 4B movement, look into it. We're going to be hearing more on this over the next 10 to 20 years. Okay, but this is how you do it. You cut them off. Let's move on to another one. The 5 love languages, trashed. That took forever. I cannot believe it took this long. I hate the love languages. I am telling my clients all the time, forget what you know, throw it in the garbage, right? It's literal trash. This concept of the 5 love languages that went viral and it was international. I mean, it has been a hit, right? Everyone wanted to learn, what are these 5 love languages and how can I use it to get more, okay, out of my lover? And it is always seemed ridiculous to me because they look like disorders to me. I'm like, okay, these 5 love languages, well, it looks like it's directly linked to something you didn't get in childhood. So for example, you know, if someone's saying, well, the way I give love is through acts of service. Well, that probably means that you have codependency issues. It probably means that you had parentification in your childhood. I mean, that's how I always read it. So I was like, that doesn't sound right, you know? And also, well, what happens if you go to therapy or you do self-help and you heal those wounds, right? Is that still your love language? Of course it won't be anymore. Something else will be, okay? So that always has tested to be true in my world, working with people, that that's exactly what it was. And men were also abusing it by saying, well, my love language is touch. So they were getting more sex out of women, or when women felt obligated, you know, to whatever. And it turns out the man who wrote the love languages is not a scientist. He's not educated in psychology. He's not educated or trained in relationships or relationship counseling at all. He's a preacher. That's it. He has been working only with white heterosexual couples, and this was all geared to empower men. All of it exposed overnight. He took a nosedive, and it's about damn time, because that garbage made me sick. And it was sad how many people bought into that. What's the bigger spiritual lesson here? Well, honesty. You know, honesty allows for us to be frank about where we are. And when we're not looking for these sort of magical unicorn solutions to hooking a mate, you know, or to keeping a mate and manipulating them, when we're not looking for things like that, we are left with this raw authenticity that is ourselves. And we have to be introspective, and we have to say, okay, where do I actually have healing that needs to be done? You know, where am I carrying childhood wounds and problems from my parents? And I'm, you know, dating and just reliving these same relationships over and over and over again. And we have to do the work. This nonsense of the 5 love languages has prevented people and stolen their time from doing the work in recent years. And it's about time it crashed and burned. So now people can start to be real about who they are, what they need, what they actually like, and realize that that's constantly changing. So we can all start to relate to one another on a more authentic, you know, basis. All right, so this will help love grow. At any time that's going on, it's good for all of us. Very timely, this one, don't you think? All right, let's move on to another one. Guardian angels. I'm going to speed up on these a little bit because we have a lot this week. The guardian angels, the clowns return. All right. Guardian angels, for those of you that are younger, the guardian angels were like this biker gang group, that was like big in the 70s and the 80s. And I don't know, it went out in, I guess, the 90s, the 80s. And, you know, they were always like wannabe cops, sort of the sort of like militia. You know, they would go out and they would like fight crime, you know, in their own way. And they've resurrected from the 80s. And they should be climbing back into their hole any minute now, because the day they came out, the Fox News, Hannity, is that his name? Hannity had them live. What a bunch of morons. Had them live on the news and was like, the guardian angels are back. They're here to fight crime because crime in America is out of control. And they took a Latino man who was on the street living life, and they beat the ish out of him, the whole gang of them. And you can hear Hannity being like, zoom in, zoom in. I mean, it was the equivalent of like a lynching. Disgusting. Everyone's like, yeah, yeah, you know, get him, because he's Hispanic and everyone, like, you know, hates us. And they're claiming that he was an illegal, okay, so that he was an immigrant, they're claiming, and that he had just stolen and had assaulted someone. None of that was true. None of that was the case. And while a bunch of people got arrested because of what they did, that's not nearly enough. And I hope to God he comes back with some major lawsuits, you know, and pushes criminal charges as far as he possibly can. And Hannity barely came back with an apology on this one. Okay. It was sort of like, oh, it was a misunderstanding. Oh yeah, right. Like, you know, you didn't just totally advertise that, you know, Latinos in the street could just be attacked at any point, and vigilante, you know, justice, and honored for it, praised for it, feeding the flame of hatred. Despicable, outrageous, disgusting behavior, not shocking by any means. But you got these clowns resurrecting from the dark shadows. They need to climb back into their holes. And hopefully, and through the exposure of how this thing went down and how they lied about all of it, they just attacked a Hispanic on the streets like this. And Fox News filmed it, you know, mind you, and was like rooting them on. I think that the bigger spiritual aspect, the potential benefit that can come from this, is the way it played out. It's not just some printed story. It's not something that went out into the media in like little doses, even though it should have been a huge international story. It wasn't just like bite-sized, you know, not even really national news. Instead of that happening, because it was live and because he's such a moron, okay, this is how it came out. And because they're so eager, you know, to bring back that toxic masculinity and that sort of civil war mentality, because they're so eager to bring out that hate, they are so reactionary and so egotistical that they make huge mistakes like this, and everyone got to see. And there is no erasing that. There is no hiding it now. It was live. All right, so it's everywhere. If you have not heard this story, expose it, reshare it. We'll be hearing more on that for sure. But, you know, the Latino community is, I don't know about you guys, but I'm at my wit's end. So let's move on to another one. We're going to talk about the first ever mom imprisoned, the first ever killer kids mom imprisoned. What am I talking about there? There was a kid who murdered a bunch of people in a school shooting. And we know that I believe it was Ethan. Let me find his name. His mother knew that he was suffering with a mental, full-blown mental health crisis. And he had even gone to school and, you know, was drawing horrible photographs, like horrible pictures, drawings of his mental state, and like images of him shooting up the school, murdering people and like blood everywhere. And he kept writing on these pieces of artwork. Ethan Crumbly was his name. He kept writing, I cannot get the voices out of my head. I'm going to be forced to kill everybody. Like, help me, help me. Well, apparently the school contacted the parents. This was all in Michigan in 2021, but the sentencing just went on last week. So apparently the school contacted the parents, and the parents, instead of getting him therapy or sending him, you know, off to the doctor or at that point to the mental institution or whatever they needed to do, they went ahead and they bought him a gun. So they bought him a rifle, okay, to add to his little collection. And he went in, I believe it was the next day, and murdered a ton of students. And, you know, while he was put away, the parents were never charged. And I think in America, they try never to touch these stories, because with the NRA and all the money that goes to politicians and the evangelical right and this and that, you know, everyone wants their guns. They love their guns more than they love their children, by far, by far. Okay, there's so much money to be made in guns. And there's so much money to be made off of these murders. So they want to see them continue. And I think that the time has really come for us to say, all right, enough. You know, if we're never going to be passing legislation just to even make gun laws a little bit safer, like commonsensical things, like people who have known, you know, mental disorders, or they've hurt someone with guns before or whatever it is. I mean, we won't even pass that type of legislation. Or saying, like, you know, rifles that could take out, I think it's like, I don't know, 50 people in a couple minutes or whatever, you know, whatever these rifles are called. You know, that versus like a hunting rifle or a regular gun. Like, why don't we say, okay, no, none of these? No, we're not willing to do that either. We're not willing to say that any type of guns are off the market and anyone can have them. And finally, because I think change isn't being made, and we've seen so many children, people die in the streets. I mean, the mass shootings are unmatched internationally, of course, but it's a situation where when it's a kid and it's a student going into a school and doing this, as it so frequently is, we need to at least start looking at the parents and say to the parent about the parents, you know, how did you not know? And in this case, we found out they not only knew, it seemed as though they were encouraging it. They even, again, bought him the gun. And it's sad in the way that it's a case of neglect, for sure, because it does seem like he was crying out. And he is a kid. You know, he was crying out for help. When he knew his parents weren't helping him, he started doing it at school, asking for help. And it's sad that the school didn't intervene more than this. And so now with this case, the mother has gone away for life, because I think for every kid who was murdered by her son, she got something like 15 years. And so she's basically in there for life. Okay. And I think this is going to lead on a larger spiritual scale. This is going to lead to more, again, civilian community intervention in cases like this. This is exactly what should have been happening all along. This is what needs to continue to happen. And the schools need to be next in all of this. So that was a first ever in history move. And it's about time. Because no doubt these people, a lot of people who love their guns, are raising up little murderers. And, you know, I think the rest of us have had enough. Let's move on to another story. Man poisons wife and kids with abortion pills. So in Houston, Texas, there was a man, an attorney, who decided he didn't want his wife pregnant anymore. And since Roe v. Wade has been overturned, note this, if she had taken the abortion pills, she would be charged with murder and imprisoned for life. But he, because he's a man, was able to pour it in her drink. Now, when I first heard this, I thought, did she ask him to do it? Since abortion is illegal? I mean, I didn't know what to think when I first heard this. I was like, maybe he was helping her. I don't know. No, he was not helping her. He was spiking her drinks for years, okay, with these abortion pills. And he caused her to have a miscarriage after she had been like deathly ill. And then he would be like, oh, I'm going to take care of you. I mean, he would bring her water. He would bring her things that she'd be like, why does this water look cloudy? And he would say, well, you know, we're having problems with the pipes. I'll call a plumber, whatever it is. And she would drink it. And then she would get violently ill. Well, she was smart. She started to collect samples of what he was feeding her. And he would even pass her drinks in restaurants and stuff. She would collect samples. And she busted him eventually. He did cause for her pregnancy to miscarry, which is sad. Her previous pregnancy from just about a year before that actually caused for her to almost miscarry several times. But she had the baby, and the baby has a ton of disabilities because of this drug. So he's drugging her. He's drugging her kids because he didn't want to deal with them anymore. Instead of just leaving and being a man about it, this is what he did. And he got 180 days in prison. And if she had done it, she would have gotten life. Do you love it? What's the bigger lesson there? Well, exposure. Exposure to the obscene injustice between men and women, especially here in America. And if we are the leaders of the rest of the world, you know, this should get some good exposure. So hopefully she fights a really good fight on this. It's also going to bring about a lot of change and argument in the upcoming probably 2 to 3 years as I see it in regards to Roe v. Wade being overturned. We got the elections coming up. So there's a lot of like political stuff behind this and change that, you know, that can happen. From that, just being the discrepancy here, how come she can't take that pill and he can give it to her and he's not charged with murder at all, okay, at all, but she would be. So we want to look at another story here, NFL and Joel Osteen. If you guys aren't familiar with who Joel Osteen is, he's a TV evangelist. He's a Christian leader and he is huge. He has a huge following. You've probably seen him. He's sort of like an egghead and kind of like horse teeth, and he's always smiling. Okay. So smiling, like seems super enlightened until you see what he actually, the tax breaks and what he actually spends his money on, what he's actually into, what he actually promotes and whose rights he's actually stealing, you know, then you see the horns. But, you know, he seems very pleasant. Anyways, this big, tall, white guy. And the NFL had their like state gathering, their big party for the team that won the Super Bowl. So Kansas City. And everybody got together, tons and tons of people, okay? And right about, I want to say within like 24 hours, 48 hours, something like that, both of these stories, I think, came out. Correct me if I'm wrong, but whatever, within like a week, days. So this huge NFL party got shot up, mass shooting. And I want to say 11 children were injured, something like 20 people died. 20 people were injured. I think one died. 11 children were injured at the NFL thing. Joel Osteen's, they shot the woman who, she emptied 5 rounds, okay, on these people. And she was shot. She came in with a 7-year-old boy. He was shot in the head. She died. He was wounded. A bunch of other people were wounded. And, you know, we are seeing this so commonly. I mean, we expect to hear it every day. I mean, if you're an American and you just expect that this is a normal part of life, that you're going to hear about like your kid's school getting shot up or school nearby or a public event of any kind. I mean, if that's just assumed to you, I would love to hear it in the comment section. The rest of the world does not believe how we live here. Okay. If you can even call it that. I don't know about you, but I don't go anywhere. If I know there's going to be a group gathering, not that I would want to anyways, but like, if I know there's going to be a group gathering, you could not pay me to show up. You can barely get me to go into the mall. I mean, we had a mass shooting, you know, here in Buffalo in a grocery store a couple years ago. It's happening all the time. It's the Wild West here. There are zero regulations on any of this. So we see that within a couple days, we have the NFL hit and we have Joel Osteen, the biggest thing in TV evangelism out there. At the same time, what does that mean on a larger scale? Well, it means that we can see, first of all, what people in real positions of power, because what's more powerful than the NFL and these big TV evangelists, right? We can see what they're really about. We can see whether or not they're going to fight for change and legislation, gun regulation, protect our people. Are they real members of the community? Do they want to keep our kids alive? Or do they not care at all? Are they profiting off of this? So we're going to see. And we may not have to dig very deep to see at all. Joel showed up for an interview saying with his big smile, "It's such a tragedy, but God's got a plan, does he now? Let's see what your plan is, Joel Osteen." All right, because all eyes are on you now, Christian man. Let's see what you do in a situation like this with the gun lobbyists and whatnot. So this is going to be very, very interesting. I like the way the universe plays things, putting these two big names together simultaneously so that everyone will be watching, okay, for an extended period. And hopefully change will come, because right now with capitalism, there is no value of human lives whatsoever. And as we are in the end stage capitalism and everything's burning down, dying out, you know, this is one of the first things that should have been gone already. These rights to guns. All right. So we're going to move on to lead poison Stanley Cups. This one's going to be quick. Lead poison Stanley Cups. Who wants them now? I did a story in the first episode of Late Night Circus talking about how so many of us did damage by boycotting Starbucks, because Starbucks is directly giving a ton of money to Israel and they support the genocide. All right, so does McDonald's. And if you're not sure who we're boycotting, go on to my TikTok and you could see there's a video there talking about everyone we're boycotting. I'll have to do a new one here soon. But, you know, there was a lot of damage done to Starbucks profits because of the number of people, even in airports, because of the number of people who will not have that cup of coffee. They will do anything to avoid them at this point because they've blood on their hands. And so they quick came out with a cash grabbing scheme with these Stanley Cups, and all these circus performing clowns got in on it and they're just snatching them up and collecting them all and giving this money right directly to Israel, right, in the genocide in Gaza, and just defeating everything we had done in record time. People went crazy. Because they're so easily brainwashed into things like this. And now we find that, well, it did make them a huge profit. They are also poisoned with lead. So what do I think the bigger message there is? Karma. That's what I think it is. I think it's karma. I think it's be careful. Pay attention. Open your eyes and ears. Okay? Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're consuming. Pay attention to who you're hurting. It's not like people these days can claim that they didn't know any better. We have all of this information at our fingertips all the time. And if we don't know, it's because we're deliberately ignorant and we're essentially saying, I don't care. Well, maybe now you care, right? So, full of lead. You think Starbucks cares about you? Well, all right. So let's move on to another story here. I thought that was ironic. Let's talk about bye-bye overdraft fees. So Biden stepped in and there's some new legislature. There's some new, you know, rules. There are some new restrictions on banks, and they have stopped officially these banks from predatory overdraft fees that have been going on forever. If you have ever gotten hit, I want to hear it in the comment section. Let me see a raise of hands. Thank you for the hearts. Thank you. Yeah, if you guys keep tapping that screen there on TikTok, I appreciate it, and share this video. Whew, if you've ever gotten hit with overdraft fees, this is terrible because it's all a hit on the poverty stricken, right? Anyone who's poor will eventually reach a point where they overdraft their account, they overdraw on their bank account. And even if it's something like, I remember, for example, once I was in overdrawn by 25 cents, and the bank that later got sued, for example, the bank made sure that what they did was they went in, and this is what Biden has put an end to. They made sure that they took out all of the, I think the way they were doing it was like taking out the big charges first, and then that would strip my account. So if you have like 10 checks waiting to be cashed, for example, they would go to the biggest ones first so that your overdraft problem is like immediately, you're going to get charged for that immediately. When in actuality, the first six charges were maybe much smaller checks. And that 25 cents may not have ever become a problem because you may have caught it in time, right? Or you would have only gotten hit with maybe one or two overdraft fees. So they rearrange things. You understand what I'm saying? They take what needs to be withdrawn, they rearrange it so that the biggest hits happen in order first. Then every smaller hit under it is an additional charge, an additional charge. So for example, what happened with me was I was short 25 cents on my bank account. And they hit me with a $35 overdraft fee again and again and again and again and again. Not only did they do that, they hit it for days. They didn't tell me for days that it had happened. And so that caused other things to, I didn't know to put 25 cents. I didn't know to put, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, long story short, they ended up getting sued for that. But things like that have been going on. I want to say that was in like the early 2000s that happened to me. But I had had it happen multiple times. I was always overdrafting. You know, my math is horrible and I was broke. And what happens is that, you know, people cannot catch up. And again, it's a predatory system on those that are poor versus those that are wealthy and will never, ever, you know, have any of these problems. So when Biden stepped in and now they are fighting it, okay, they are freaking out. They are freaking out. We'll keep your eye on this story because there are going to be a lot of battles politically with this. These banks are furious. But as of right now, there's a stop to it. Okay. So if you are now banking with a system that used to do this, what you're going to find is that they are forced to give you some leeway, not only like financial leeway, but also like reporting it to you, like letting you know that it happened. And they have to give you extended time, and they're not able to rearrange the hits. There's all kinds of stuff. Their hands are tied. This is awesome. All right. I love this. Finally, a little bit of justice. What's the bigger spiritual lesson and astrological, you know, story here? Well, it is that the tail becomes the head and the head becomes the tail. This is just, you know, one way that those that don't have will be able to clutch a little bit of their wealth for a longer period of time, because the abuses against the poor are always that not only can we, due to redlining and, you know, making less money and not being hired as much, whatever, you know, whatever it is, all the different ways that we get hit, the injustice there, it's not just that we have to deal with those things all the time and we're kept away from creating generational wealth and security for ourselves. It's also that anything we get, we have to fight to hold on to every freaking second of every day, you know, because of BS like this. So this starts knocking them out one by one. And I think it's actually a bigger move. I think this should have been in the news far more than what it was. So keep an eye on this. What does it mean? We could start to rise up. All right. Wealth is going to be changing. I said this in my 2021 predictions, that the head becomes the tail becomes the head. And, you know, it was right around that time we were starting to make some advancements in this. And so there are a lot of things that have been going on behind the scenes that are now going to start coming to fruition for us. So awesome. All right, let's move on to another one. UN rules genocide and UNRWA pulls funding. I'm going to keep this one short because there's a whole heck of a lot to say here. But basically, the UN ruled that what Israel is doing in Gaza is a genocide against the Palestinians. And within days, Israel claimed unfounded with no proof, zero. Still as of today, and this was weeks ago, showed no proof that the people they had approved in the UN, or I'm sorry, in UNRWA, okay? UNRWA, for those of you that don't know, they give support to Palestine. They, you know, they're sending food, they're sending water, you know, clothing, medicine, okay, things like this. Well, Israel claimed that a huge handful, like something like 9 or 15 of the people that they approved, mind you, that they approved to UNRWA, who are on the board of UNRWA, that they are working with Hamas. Oh, you know, that they're anti-Semitic and that they're attacking Israel. And what did UNRWA do? Everyone backed out. 14 countries backed out. Only two hung in there. So all of this aid is either backed up outside of Gaza with the Gazans starving to death. They're having limbs cut off without any anesthesia. They have not had clean water, I mean, in ages, months. They're eating animal feed. They're eating dirt, okay? They're literally doing anything they can to survive with all of this food, all of this aid, all of these trucks, right? Just backed up, just they won't let them in. Israel won't let them in. So finally, some people have stepped up and said, huh, you know, it's really interesting that as soon as the UN decides that Israel is responsible for a genocide, without doubt, that is the ruling 100%. This is a genocide. This is not a war. This is a genocide. I never used the word war with this entire incident from day one, ever. That's not what this is. But they rule that officially, and right around the corner is Israel taking the food, okay, and all the materials, the help, the aid away from the Palestinians through UNRWA. Now, they all pulled out without any proof whatsoever. They were just like, oh my God, this is what we're going to do. You know, well, one of the other things that's going on, and this all happened during the Super Bowl, right? Because they're always very clever, especially in times of war. But like, when are we not at war? You know, when are we not pulling a genocide on someone, meaning America, like all over the world? It's always like something like on a holiday or, you know, during a big TV production or something. So during the Super Bowl, Israel soldiers had forced all the Palestinians to evacuate to the deepest southern level, like point, okay, of the Gaza Strip. Now they've been moved. Go to the north, go to the south, go to the north, go to the south, go over here, go over there, go over here, go over there. And everywhere they move these people, they bomb them and they murder them. Once they get them in a nice collection, and like a lot of them are, you know, dying from the travel and starvation and dehydration and the cold and whatnot, it's no different with these indigenous people than what we did with the Native Americans and the Trail of Tears and whatnot, right? We're just reliving the same stories. Looks like the Holocaust, looks identical, right? March them again. Well, if they make it to the new supposedly safe location, they get murdered once they're all collected there. You know, the idea here, I believe, now that they've pushed them to the lowest level, the southern point of Gaza, because it's hitting the border with Egypt, that during the Super Bowl, once they got them all there, during the Super Bowl, when they thought no one was looking or no one was really going to care, and a bunch of people didn't, you know, ever even know this happened, they bombed them, and where they are even attacking them as they're running in and out of hospitals. They're just waiting with guns. And if a doctor or a nurse goes in, or they're carrying a patient in, I mean, they're offing them right there, right outside of the hospital. And now with the starvation, because UNRWA's not putting through the resources, Israel won't let the resources in, what they're trying to do is to shove them into Egypt. They're trying to force Egypt to take them in. Okay, so long story short, what are we looking at here? Well, we're looking at the opportunity for the entire world to watch on our phones, on our social media, on live streams, in real time, what a genocide looks like and how it tactfully plays out by these fascists, by these murderers. And we're able to see who is backing them, who's paying for it, how they're strategizing behind the scenes. Well, now that we have this type of education, we are also able to come together as a community and strategize in our own way about how we fight such things. It's also a major wake-up call about how we want politics to change, who we don't want to see in power ever again, because a lot of stars and a lot of singers and a lot of politicians that we all thought were amazing are behind this. They support this. You know, they feed Israel. And they're getting another $19 billion. Yeah. Yep. Biden just put it through. So we've got a lot of work to do. And the exposure of how this is going to play out, especially in regards to the way Egypt is reacting and responding, and the way this is typical of every other genocide, where they get pushed out literally into another country, another land, removed from their land. All the graves have also been dug up and body parts sold off. The biggest skin bank in the world is from Israel. Organs, skin, I can't get into it today. Okay, there's so much going on here, but we're gonna see how these situations play out. And we're going to learn as citizens internationally how to come together and navigate to create a better future. Let's go on to another one here. The airlines have a plain old death wish. Just when I thought I'd seen it all, I haven't flown in a few years, thanks to COVID. And then I didn't want to because I don't like it. I always get tied up in security and it's just gross. And I always get sick and there's just germs everywhere. And I can't do it. So, you know, it ruins my trip. And so I will do anything to avoid flying. I will like walk if I have to, but I have taken trains for 8-10 days. I've taken buses. I will drive, right? I recently drove to Florida. I'll drive to California. I'll go anywhere. But I do not want to get on a plane. Well, I finally got on a plane a few weeks ago for the first time in years. And my God, things have tanked. I thought it couldn't get any worse than the way it was, like pre-COVID. I was wrong. And we have seen in the news so many. So, I mean, really on a daily basis, if you're paying attention, you could see where a plane crashed. You can see where wheels fell off. You can see where, like, you know, they have doors and parts blowing off. What was that, Alaskan Airlines? I mean, all of their planes had been like retracted and double checked because they didn't have bolts in the doors. And like there was a recent flight where the door blew off. And the kid, he was like 15. He was supposed to be sitting right next to it, but he like intuitively knew to move over a little bit. That's your gut instinct, people. Okay. And that spirit right there telling you little things like that mean a whole heck of a lot. In this case, it meant his life. When the door blew off the plane, you know, mid-flight in air, you know, he was moved over enough that he didn't totally get sucked out the door, but like it ripped his shirt off. He was like bloody and covered in bruises and, you know, red, and everyone was freaking out. Obviously everyone was, you know, losing it. And when they checked the rest of the Alaskan airline plane, it was like plane after plane after plane after plane where the door was about to blow off or other pieces were about to blow off. None of the bolts were put in right. No one's checking anything. And don't you know, last week, a bunch of politicians are trying to pass legislation to make it easier on airline companies so that they have to do even less than what they're doing now. Very interesting. It's a death wish. If you're getting on a plane, I mean, I would just not, okay? Horrifying. What do I think this means on a larger spiritual scale? Well, exposure. I think it's about people seeing how corrupt the system really is and how many politicians, you know, are getting paid to be there and how they're doing dirty work behind the scenes and they don't care at all about your safety, because who doesn't fly? Everyone flies. What choice do you have? They didn't build the train system here in America, for example, you know, to force you into things like driving and using planes. They don't want you to have a safer, not that that's even safe anymore because it's deteriorated, the whole train system we do have, but that's an infrastructure issue. But like, we see that we are forced in this direction if we want to go anywhere. Okay. And then we see them killing us and making a killing off of it. It was expensive. I flew first class, which was fine. It wasn't great. Okay. I definitely don't think it was worth it. It was still a clown show. But you know, that's what had to be done in order for me to make sure I could bring on my bag and, you know, not have someone like right next to me up in my face, like hacking on me. And I paid a fortune. Okay. I want to say I had to pay like an extra $600 or something for that. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. They're taking more and more and more and more away from you if you're going to ride economy, if you're going to fly economy, you know, and we're just getting gouged with all of these fees. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And we're not guaranteed to get there in one piece because the plane isn't guaranteed to get there in one piece. And they want to see more of that. That's what your politicians are fighting for. That's what the airlines want. All right. Let's talk about, we're going to be wrapping it up here. So for those of you who tuned in late, please give this video a thumbs up, drop a comment, subscribe, especially if you're here on YouTube, at Ask Ivy. If you want to become a member, hit the join button to see the three different tiers of membership. I'm always asking you guys to transfer, especially if you're on TikTok and Facebook, over here to my YouTube channel at Ask Ivy. If you actually want to really support me, this is where it's at for me. Okay, so it costs you nothing to become a subscriber. Donations are appreciated. All right. So if you haven't already done so, at the end of today's Late Night Circus episode, I am going to be taking your questions and comments. So go ahead and start posting them now. If you haven't already done so, Jill, my beautiful producer, is going to be popping them up. All right. Couple last minute stories here. These are going to be faster. I know I keep saying that. I talk too much. That's what happens when you're like Gemini in seven houses. So climate change and mental illness, in particular schizophrenia, climate change and schizophrenia, but a lot of drugs, even for like bipolar, from what I understand. I'll have to do more research on this one. But how is climate change directly affecting and linked to mental illness? This is sad. We saw last year shattering levels with the heat temperature rates like we have never seen, unprecedented. And we saw people in cities, for example, like falling on the cement, burning their skin. Okay. And, you know, so many people are just dropping like flies. I mean, because you can only hydrate so much. And, you know, we have a lot of issues also in our colored communities and, or, you know, our poor communities where people don't have things like adequate air conditioning. And so we've already probably heard a lot of stories on that and how it irritates asthma and it causes other medical conditions. Okay. So this is a bigger problem. It has been for a long, long time. Again, we need to look at race. We need to look at economics. We need to look at, you know, redlining and a bunch of other things with this, pollution as well. But This is really interesting because this is directly connected to climate change and how when the heat is skyrocketing, people who are on meds for their mental illness are dying at like three times the rate of the average person because the medications that are keeping them stable get activated and are dehydrating their systems. They are causing all kinds of, also my understanding was like, you know, damage to the organs. So there's a bunch of stuff going on here. And again, I want to do more research on this. I don't want to misspeak on it, but that in a nutshell is the big idea. The hotter it gets, the more people with mental illness, especially schizophrenics, are going to find that they cannot take those medications, or medications have to be reinvented to deal with the increasing temperature as time goes on. I think it's absolutely shocking that we already know three times the death rate. So sad, so fast, this is getting out of control. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of, on a more spiritual note with this, I think it's going to help with equality. I think, again, we see a situation where the tail becomes the head and the head becomes the tail as we go in more into the revolution, which again, you know, this is Pluto in Aquarius, January 20th, really getting activated. And that's how we have treated our mentally ill in the past. We have also accused people like mediums, like psychics, of being mentally ill. So we are going to see that they're being put more in the forefront of the news. There's more awareness brought to their cause. And I also feel that there will be an increase in prophecy from these people because, like I said in the previous Late Night Circus, I said, well, I think I was talking about the Gypsy Rose Blanchard story, not her as much as Dee Dee Blanchard, her mother, and Nicholas Godejohn, her boyfriend, because he's schizophrenic. I talked in episode number one of Late Night Circus, go back and watch. And I have clips of this up on TikTok also, you know, of like an interview with him. I said that schizophrenics are so raw and so honest and so real. Part of the reason I like spending so much time with them is because they will speak on mediumship and the voices they hear and the visions that they have and the prophecy that channels through them. They will say it in such an authentic way that it is undeniable that it helps us all put into perspective that we are all mediums. We are all psychics. We are all having downloads. We are all prophets to some degree. It's just them, you know, that live in this reality all the time that assist us in that way. And I think that, sad as this may be, for a while until we can correct this situation, what we're going to see is them having more visions and prophecy and speaking out more from the spiritual world, because the medications aren't going to be able to work, or they're going to have to get off of them. Okay. Or like dehydration in itself causes hallucinations, right? Which is really just tapping into another dimension. It's just tapping in to that information that we were not previously able to access. This is going to be very interesting. And, you know, we need to move quick to save them. But in the meantime, you know, pay attention to those in your life who are going to be dealing with them. And I don't know why we haven't heard more on this. Okay. This should be all over the news because it's not like those heat waves just happened yesterday. Okay. This was last summer. Unbelievable. No one's even really talking about this. Let me know if you've heard about this. But you know, Big Pharma doesn't want something like this getting out. Money, 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 money. Okay. And the doctors don't want to lose that profit. So don't forget, it is designed against you. Okay. Let's move on to don't get a death sentence here. All right. The state of Ohio is experimenting. Those on death row, they are now using nitrogen gas, asphyxiation, 58-year-old prisoner named Kenneth Smith was the first one to receive nitrogen gas. And the UN stepped in and said, this is a form of torture. America, you cannot do this. And we watched. Alabama was the first one to use it. Okay. But they only did it once. And then, you know, Ohio really charted what went on. So first time in U.S. history, this has been used. And it was ruled that lethal injection, so death sentence in prison, right, by lethal injection, it was ruled in Ohio that it was too inhumane, that it was causing unnecessary pain. However, listen to how this gas is working on those with a death sentence. So a mask goes on their head. It goes from about here to here. It's stripped. It is tied down, strapped down to the table from both sides. The prisoner is then, you know, tied down to the table and they administer the gas. According to people who witnessed this, they said it was the most shocking thing they had ever seen. It was absolutely outrageous, and it took a really, really long time. So the person, Kenneth Smith, he was conscious for about 5 minutes. Then it really hit him, and for 2 to 3 minutes, he was writhing. He was trying to, almost like his body was, trying to sit up, and it looked like he was trying to almost like get the mask off. But what it did was it just like moved the mask around, even though it was tied down. And so it was not as effective. So it took longer. So every time he would, you know, lean up and lurch into it, he was moving it. He was vomiting. He was spitting. There were all kinds of fluids coming out of his mouth. It was like dripping down the mask. His eyes popped out. There were a bunch of other horrible things that happened with this. Anyways, very gruesome. And it took a long time. I want to say even after that, okay, it took a while, because then after the, you know, like 3 minutes of that happening, there were several minutes where he was just breathing really hard and he wasn't fighting as much, you know, and then he passed. So I know a lot of you may not care about this, you know, there it's like, well, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, or he probably deserved it. And maybe he did. I didn't look into what he did. I'm not concerned about that. I just think that there are so many people falsely imprisoned and our prison system is so for profit that we better be careful about who we're executing like this. When a lot of them are innocent people, framed people, the cops framed them even, okay? The justice system has failed so many prisoners. We need a complete revision of the prison system, just one of the many things, okay, here in America. But Ohio takes the cake. I swear to God, it's like Ohio. What the heck is going on in Ohio? What goes on over there? Like, no one ever goes in. No one ever comes out. Like, we don't ever hear anything. The only thing we hear is like one crazy story after a crazier story after a craziest story from Ohio. Okay. Every week. Ridiculous. So there's that. Interesting. But there will be more to this story because on a spiritual level, what we're talking about here, again, is exposure, because even the UN had to step in and talk about how inhumane. Now, on its own, the story may not do much, but given that we, you know, America is leading the genocide in Israel with our funding and some other things we're doing internationally, Congo and other places, you know, we're seeing so many areas where America is popping up as this huge villain, and it's not going to be tolerated forever. You know, we're not the big bad bullies with all the power that we once were. And so I think this is another great story of exposure And I think we seriously need to look at what's going on with the prison system. And this may get more eyes on that story, because typically, again, if it's not a, people are like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know, or people deserve to be in there. And it's like, wait until it happens to you or someone close to you, you know, or you hear something really disturbing. This is where we need to be looking. So exposure to the system on an international scale with that story. All right. And the last story of today, my God, I covered a lot today. Again, you guys let me know, did you prefer this format or like talking about more stories, a little bit shorter, faster going through them? Or did you prefer the first episode where I covered only like 8 stories, but a little more in depth? Last story here today. The EU tries to save lives, but the Pope takes them. You gotta love it. God bless him. God bless him. So the EU says, we feel that more people really need to be educated on how alcohol kills. Alcohol is a dangerous drug. Alcoholism is serious. We need more intervention. Well, the Pope decides to come out of the woodwork and say, wine is a gift from God. Okay. That drinking and the way it makes you feel is true joy and happiness. Yeah. Well, we know that when we're drunk, we all know that. We also know that these other things are true. And it was very timely that he had to come out with that when all of these regulations were about to be put in place on how alcohol is being sold and who it's targeting and, you know, other legal restrictions on where and how much, why. No, no, that's all it took was for the Pope to come out and say, no, 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 no. It's okay. It's okay. Go drink. I have never. Okay. I never. It's always the church that really gets my jaw. Okay. On the floor. With their timing on things like this. So automatically, like, you know, there were restrictions being put in place in Italy, for example, with the wineries. And now, you know, they're using the Pope as a defense in, like, you know, lawsuits and for legislation, and they're hiding behind the Pope's words. And so far it's kind of working. Okay. So, you know, is he really doing the Lord's work? Or is he working for the other team, the good old church, always behind this kind of nonsense? All right. So I think there will be, you know, many more stories on this as we go forward, because we are looking at, as a whole, meaning internationally and on a spiritual level, becoming healthier because of all the things I talked about here today. You know, we are turning away more and more, I believe we will be, from drugs and alcohol. And we are looking more at mental health in the future. Not to say that, you know, the establishment is necessarily going to make sure that we're receiving mental health treatment, but I believe it's going to come from the citizens. I believe it's going to come from the communities. I believe it's going to come on an individual basis. We even see it on TikTok and YouTube. And how many outlets do you have where you can get mental health care and you can, you know, learn how to do something like shadow work and you can come off of severe addictions? There are a million different ways that we can do this. And if the government isn't going to do it, we're going to make sure we're reaching people on our own, and we're doing a pretty good job. And so I see, you know, this being a big part of that story. And the church is on the wrong side of things. You know, you should have stayed where you belong. But this is just exposure again to how their story changes, just like the Bible has always changed to fit their prophet. Yeah. Dirty, dirty. Okay. So tons of interesting stories in the news the last couple of weeks. There was ton more, but I didn't feel it was really relevant on a spiritual level, or, you know, there's a ton more, but I don't really feel like there are big stories yet. So I'm waiting on a couple things to unfold. But yeah, I would love to hear your opinions or questions. And also, if there are other topics you guys would like to hear me cover, please put it in the comments section now, or if you're watching this video after. All right, Jill, my beautiful producer, do we have any questions or comments? Cody says, can we get a symbology book update? Thank you, Cody. Always my cheerleader in this. So the symbology book is going really well. For those of you who are not on the early bird wait list, you can go to my email. That's at Rev, okay, like R-E-V, and then my name. So it's Rev Ivy Rivera at Yahoo. And say, add me. Okay, and then I'll put you on the early bird waitlist for the symbology book. It is coming along. I bought this new computer a couple days ago so that I can do my final edits here. And the next step is just seeing if a publisher is going to bite. If a publisher doesn't bite, I'm not wasting a lot of time on that. I'll just go ahead and publish it myself. I have two friends who both just published on astrology in the last year, and the way they did it seems to be working really well for them. So if a publisher doesn't bite and I don't get under a label, I'm going to go ahead and probably mimic what they did. And so hopefully by the end of the month. Thank you, Cody. I love the pressure. I need a reminder. I need to hear that you guys are, still waiting on it. And the symbology book, for those of you who haven't heard me babble about it a million times, I am obsessed with symbology. In my psychic mediumship course, I teach on 4 hours of symbology, 2 hours on body symbology. So when you feel something in your body, what is it telling you? Then we talk about colors, numerology, astrology, animal totems. You know, there are a million different kinds of symbols, archetypes, dream analysis. I go into the psychology behind some of these symbols as well, but I take essentially what I've been teaching in my psychic mediumship course for like 13 years. That 4 hours of training is going to be broken down in this book and then a whole lot more. And I may do like a part one, part two, just to pump the first book out quick, because every day I'm coming up with more and I'm like, I can't do this forever. I can't keep adding. So the problem is me. I am aware. No more excuses. And I bought the computer to force me to finish. So I'm on it. Thank you, Jill. Just pop that up on the screen. Yeah, and soon it'll be available, hopefully for pre-order as well, unless, again, I get picked up by a publisher, in which case I don't know what they're going to allow me to do. So we'll see. All right, any other questions or comments? Heather Featherly Randolph says, flying is a terrible experience, traumatizing, 9 hours stuck in Charlotte. Blech. I can't even. Flight delayed for 12 hours. Terrible. I drove home from Tampa to avoid it on a return trip. I can't. You know, it's like your worst nightmare realized. It seems like it just gets worse every time you get there, right? I don't know. Poor Heather. I mean, I don't know how you will ever like really fly again. I'm telling you, I think at this point, the only real solution, and apparently your safety is not guaranteed at all, no matter what. I mean, I can't believe even that's gone so far downhill, but is to like cough up the extra money to sit in first class, and it sort of fixes some of the problems a little bit, because they're creating more problems for those in economy and coach, forcing you to pay more. You know what I mean? But no, I do believe that, you know, the train systems from like bullet trains, you know, we saw a ton of funding going, was it Buffalo that got like 14 million or something, some kind of funding a few years ago. I was like, what happened to the bullet train? You know, these cities need to get up to speed with their train systems. And I think the country will have to in the future. I would like to see us more, you know, connected and off of these death traps. Oh, that's horrible. 9 hours, 12 hours. No, I almost got thrown off the plane. You should have seen the girl who attacked me, telling me with her big old eyelashes, like, you know, I'm going to throw you off this plane, because I said, she tried to take my carry-on away, and I had medication in there. And I said, whoa, we can't be doing this. I'm going all the way to California, you know? And they're aggressive. They're nasty. They don't care. I mean, they don't care. There's no customer service. I mean, that's a small part of the problem. It's just out of control. People are crazy. The people who are riding these planes, I mean, how many videos have you watched about people like losing their minds? It's such a toxic, energetic environment. It's like a cesspool and you're trapped, you know, not knowing if you're going to die with this. It's charming. All right. Let's see if there are any other questions or comments. Lisa Tonzi says, what you said about the Elmo issue is spot on. Poor Elmo. But good for him. You know, he's doing his job. Yeah, we need, the same way that we are only willing to like reach out to our pets, you know, or we are, you know, I know it's a big thing for a lot of you gentlemen out there who are tuning in, you know, that you're like, oh, I had, you know, a couple of bad relationships, me and my dog, you know, it's just me and my dog, me and doggo, you know, that's great. That's great. But a dog doesn't talk, and a dog isn't your therapist, and a dog is not going to help you to get out of your rut and on to the next level, you know? And so it's like, in the same way that we tend to, you know, latch on to having like a million cats, or it's just, you know, me and my dog, or we live in like sort of a fantasy world of video games. It's just a lot of escapism. It's another form of escapism and avoidance. And, you know, it's a safe place for us to go to unwind, so we think, but it really isn't productive in the way that it, you know, should be. And when someone like Elmo steps in, who again is not affiliated with anything, right? And is, you know, so loving and supportive, and, you know, sort of can't escape, kind of like your mom, right? He can't go anywhere. I mean, he's trapped, you know, in the media, has always been, will always be. They just really unleashed, and it wasn't as funny as it may sound. I mean, I'm joking about it, but, you know, I think it's really actually tragic. And so, yeah, I think, you know, we're going to see more and more therapists and psychiatrists, looking at what happened there, especially in that comment section, and taking it seriously. For the rest of us, you know, we need to be that community. We need to be those citizens that lending ear, or, you know, self-help, you know, guru. Maybe you want to be a life coach, whatever it is, you know, spiritual advisor, just a good listener, allowing people to come to you as an individual and, you know, do this on social media. Don't think I'm not properly trained or no one will show up. Oh, I assure you they will. Okay. When I started giving readings to the public, I'm telling you, within 4 months, it was a full-time business. I assure you people need help. I assure you, you know, these are dark times. You're not imagining it. And if you just even have a desire to just let people talk, you know, what's it called? ASMR? Is that where people like all over the microphone with their like spoons and making all these weird noises and stuff? You know, it irritates me, but I get it. I mean, I think even something like that has taken off so much because people find it soothing and relaxing. You know, it's comforting in some way. If you feel that you're called to do something like this, don't worry about whether you're pioneering it or anyone will show up or anyone else is doing it or doing it in the way you want to do it. Just show up and do it. Let people, you know, talk. And you don't even have to necessarily engage. You think Elmo answered 6 million, whatever it was. You know what I mean? He didn't say anything. He said, I'm here for you. How are you? And then he said, I'm glad I did that. Stay in touch. Let me know. That's it. It's hi and it's bye. Okay. All right, do we have any more questions or comments? We have another one from Heather Randolph. With all this in the news, do you have one suggestion on what we, meaning spiritualists, healers, et cetera, could be focusing on the benefit, the collective, to benefit the collective as a whole? Well, someone recently asked, how do you feel about doing long, like hours of meditation and collective healing? I feel nothing. It clearly doesn't work. Okay. It's just not, no. So what I would suggest to the masses, okay, to all of us healers out there, is that we learn how to heal ourselves, because the biggest holdup is that we're not doing the work. We are so eager to level jump. We are so eager to bypass our stuff and to just get out there and slap a healer's label on it and to start pumping it out. And that makes us a vampire. That makes us codependent. So the best thing that any of us can do is to stay centered and rooted and grounded, meaning get comfortable in the discomfort that is your life, that is you, your growth, your healing, your shadow work, and be willing to participate and patient with yourself, knowing that healing is not linear. It's not A to B. It's not quick, no matter how quick you want it to be. Nor is karma. Karma takes its sweet ass time, and it always will. Allow for the reality that these things take time to play out, that they're cyclical, meaning it's going to come around again and again and again. areas that you need healing in. It's kind of like an onion. There are many layers to the onion. Set healthy boundaries with other people. I'm not saying, you know, we don't need to recognize other people are going through this. You know, we do, but I don't like when people say hold space. I wouldn't hold too much space. I would set boundaries accordingly. Now, that doesn't mean you need to cut people off, but don't let toxic people in your life who aren't doing the work or who have more work to do, but they are doing the work, know where to place them. Okay. People's boundaries are all out of whack. When you do these two things, you allow yourself to heal. And when you allow yourself to heal, your ministry can grow and you can authentically work from your life's path, your life's contract with the people you're supposed to be working with. You know to do your part. Because when you hear all this, you'll be like, I want to go in 50,000 different directions. Can't do that or you're going to burn out. You're also not God, and that's not your calling to go in 50,000 different directions. Okay, that's a sign that you're not balanced and centered. So center yourself. Don't center anyone else. Okay. And make sure that you're doing the work so that you're actually able to assist in the world and on a universal level the way we need it, because most healers and lightworkers simply are not ready because they think they can level jump, you know, over this type of stuff. And they also want to like pretend that they're an alien or they came from another planet or they're a very special star seed. And every generation has a new label of nonsense slapped on it saying they're special. No, no, you're not. You're not special and you're not an alien. And don't wait for the aliens to come. And you're not going back to your home planet and there isn't none of this. And you don't need to meditate for 6 hours a day and connect with the aliens and all this stuff. That is another form of escapism and avoidance. And that's what a lot of lightworkers are doing these days. And we need to just be here, rooted and grounded. We are here as humans having a human experience. We're not supposed to be so otherworldly. It's not that complex, even though we are spiritual creatures, okay? So, you know, do the work on yourself so that you can help with others. There's nothing else to do. I wouldn't say, Heather, that's a great question. Because very simply, when your ministry is ready, they will come to you. You can't escape it. You can't avoid it. And when you're living within your life's path, your life's contract, you automatically know what you're supposed to do. Like I, for example, know I'm supposed to focus on things like this. My degree's in journalism. You know, I'm a spiritual activist. It makes sense for me to do this. I do healings with people. I do readings with people. You know, I'm publishing books. I'm doing some filming stuff. But anything else that comes to me, I know I'd have to say, while I would like to spend time on that, I know I would be getting out of my lane. Other people are designated to do that. And I just hope that they are, because you can't do it all. Okay. So know where you belong. Great question. All right. We have any other questions or comments, Jill, or are we at time? I think we're at time. All right. Looks good. So I will be back maybe next week, maybe in a couple weeks. I don't force these shows. When I see that there is something actually meaningful going on in the media, I'll pick it up and I'll be announcing when we have another late night circus going on. In the meantime, you guys can catch me, I believe it's this upcoming Wednesday, for my next live show where I'll be taking your personal questions and delivering messages from spirit. That show is called Ask Ivy. Drop your questions and comments and anything you would like to see me cover in upcoming shows. Even once this is published, I'll be going back and checking. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Jill.